Tonight, I'd like to read some from the book of St. Mark, over in the first chapter. I guess we might as well start with the first verse here. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets. Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latches of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Now if you remember the thing that we prophesied going down the streets of Dolorosa, we did not know what we was going to say when we took up our speech going down the streets of Dolorosa. But the thing that came forceful and so great and mighty as screaming out from our lungs was, The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and receive the gospel, or believe the gospel. And this, as we prophesied down the streets of Dolorosa, strange as it would seem, the Jews, his eyes never having been opened before, that even from Calvary they'd been blinded in part, and now, after all these many years, here the word of God is from a Gentile going down the streets of old Jerusalem, crying out, now, going down the same trail that Jesus went when he dragged his cross along, going down that same blood trail, crying out, the time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. That is the time of the Jews coming in and the opening of their eyes. As we say so often, the casting away of the Jews is the reconciling of the world as to the Gentiles' revival. And now the end of the Gentiles' days is being fulfilled. Then it is now the resurrection of the dead, or the coming in of the Jews. So then there's, we prophesied going down their streets, it had great significance, great meaning as to the coming of the Lord. And sure enough, Jews that have been converted into Christianity begin to move into the areas of the old city. And now there's a war going on. They're having a war over it because the Jews are trying to drive them out. But nevertheless, if the time be fulfilled and these things are coming to pass, there's very little they can do. Because when you rise up against the Christians, that is perhaps the only thing that will cause God to turn his wrath on the Jews. There's no record where he ever turned his wrath on the Jews except when they rose up against the Christians. And again, he left them alone when they left off with that, and they have been at peace. And he has stood with them in all of their battles against every nation. He has stood with them, and he hath conquered every nation for their sake, no matter what the odds were. But now they have risen up against the Christian again, which means the wrath once again has come upon them to the uttermost, because the only people in all the world that God will make a choice between to choose rather than the Jews is the Christians. He will choose the Jews above all nations because they are natural people and they are the apple of his eye. But when it comes to the Christian, that is God himself, or Christ himself. And whatever you do to them, you do it to God Almighty. And when God makes the choice between the Jew and the Christian, he chooses the Christian. And now that they're persecuting the Christian and trying to drive the Christian out, it is going to cause God to kindle his wrath. And instead of them driving the Christians out, what is going to happen is that the Arabs and the people boycotting against them and the armies of the world is going to rise up and drive them out. See that the coming of the Lord Jesus is at hand. And when we think of Jesus, we do not think of him as a Jew, because he was not born a Jew, neither of Jew blood nor of Gentile blood. He is Christ. So in the spirit, he belongs to the church to that extent. And his atonement as to the body, of course, belongs to the human body as to the church's body, which relates to the Jews. And when that blood comes off of the seat of atonement, then there's going to be trouble. The thought that I wanted to dwell on here was the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. So, if I say the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand, as a Gentile, as a preacher to the Gentiles, and you as the church body of the Gentiles, shouldn't have any problem at all accepting that. Because we know that from Calvary, the time was fulfilled. For the Bible said in the fullness of time, when we say time fulfilled, what are we saying? We're saying the fullness of time, or time fulfilled. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that was under the law. What do we mean, redeem them? That is to say, everyone that's under the law is cursed. Because the Bible said, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the law to do all that's written in it. No flesh can be justified by the law, for the Lord said, and no flesh shall be justified by the law. So then, not one jot nor tittle of it could pass away till it all be fulfilled. So we being under the law, what could we do? Here we are, all people have fallen from grace. All are under the law. So then here we are as a natural people under the law. And the Jews, all of those people back there under the law, coming up to the law, and here we all are under the law until we are born again. Then when we're born again, then we are redeemed from the curse of the law, because being under the law, nobody could move the law. And we, as human beings, being a transgressor of the law, meant that we were in bondage to death, because the transgression of the law is sin, and the soul that sinneth shall surely die. All of us under the law and under the bondage of the law, then we had to be redeemed from the curse of the law. For as the Bible said, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Jesus came and become a curse for us. And thus he hang upon the tree. To do away with the old tree of knowledge, you hang upon the tree, saying, if they do this in a green tree, what shall they do to a dry? Hanging upon a tree, the cross. And so then he became a curse for us. And we are free from the curse of the law. How are we free from the curse of the law? We are free because Jesus fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the law. And then he said, Father, it is finished. And so then in the finishing of it, it was then finished. And we say, what was finished? It was finished as to what the angel had said to Daniel, as to the prophetical utterance, and Messiah shall come and make an end of sin, and he shall finish the transgression. He shall finish the thing as to making an end of sin. So then Jesus said, Father, it is finished. The salvation plan is now finished. Everything is fulfilled. I alone have kept every jot and every tittle of the law. That is, God said, I gave the law. Now I manifest myself in a human form as the Word. And I, God, I fulfill every jot and tittle of my own law, that I might take away your sins, and that I am the one that created you and subjected you to the vanity. Now I loose you from the vanities of the world, and I loose you from sin, and I loose you from the transgression. And now that the law has done its job, that is to say, it hath remained until the seed of the promise has come. Now it is taken away. Everything is gone, and death having come by man, now life is here by man. And now the transgression is finished. Sin is taken away, and there's no more sin to the believer. It's all gone now, and you are no longer under the curse, but I have redeemed you from the curse. So we sing that song, I am redeemed, I am redeemed, I am redeemed by love divine. All to thee, Lord, I resign. I have been redeemed. So my sins are gone, my sins are gone. There in the sea of God's forgetfulness, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. So we know that our sins are gone. We know that we've been redeemed. And now we know that we are the beloved children of God. And we use this approach. That is to say that we know that now, beloved, are we the sons of God. The law and the prophets until that time of Calvary. And now the time has been fulfilled. What is the fulfillment? I say again, and the fulfillment of this was that, and it shall come to pass that in the fullness of time, God shall send forth his son. So then he sent forth his son in the fullness of time, so that fulfilled the time. So the time is fulfilled. The time was fulfilled. The time has been fulfilled in that it's back there at Calvary, and we're free from the law, the law of sin and death. And now here we are over on this side, as we say, living on the hallelujah side. Glory be to Jesus. Let the hallelujahs roll. Let me ring the Savior's praises throughout the world, far and wide. For I've opened up toward heaven all the windows of my soul. And I'm living on the, somebody say hallelujah, on the hallelujah side. Hallelujah. So then I'm praising him. I'm loving him, and I'm walking with him. Why am I so happy? Why am I shouting? Why do I want to preach the gospel? Why do I want to tell this glad tidings of great joy? Why did the angel appear on the hillside when the birth of the Lord came? That is to say, peace on earth and goodwill toward man. I now have peace with my heavenly Father. There is no war between me and the eternal Spirit. There is no wrath from the eternal Spirit to me. There is no desire in the Father's heart to smite me or to hurt me. There is nothing from God that makes him want to harm me. He wants to cuddle me. He wants to love me. He wants to receive me. God said, Israel, thy warfare is accomplished. At last, Jesus won the battle, for the battle is not to the strong. So then we've won the battle. And our great commander is going on before us now. And we won the battle. So then this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast not away thy faith in the things that the Spirit saith unto thee, or as the minister speaketh unto thee. For thy faith hath great recompense of reward. And the Bible says if you'll just continue on to hold that faith steadfast to the end, then you'll be partakers of this divine glory. Somebody said, well, live right and backslide and come and get right. That is, be born all over again. No, that's not it at all. If you happen to slide, if you happen to fall away in the sense not of falling away from the gospel to go back into sin, but stumble and stagger at your best, don't condemn yourself, for happy is he that doth not condemn himself in that thing when he's doing his very best. And folks, I tell you, if you ain't doing your very best, you're deceived when you think that everything's all right and you don't get down and repent over it and get that thing straightened out. But nevertheless, don't condemn yourself if you know you're doing truthfully, conscientiously, with God, everything that to the best of your ability. Because you don't have to cast away your faith. See, because if your faith does fall on you, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that God doesn't care for you. Because the Bible said God so loved you while you were yet in your sins, when you had no faith toward God. He so loved you that he gave his son to die for you before you even knew about faith. And how much more does he love us now that we're little babies and we're trying our best to hold on to the hand of the Heavenly Father. So then we find ourselves stumbling and staggering along till we grow up to be able to carry ourselves by the strength of our Heavenly Father. So then when we come back, what do we do? Do we have to then be born again all over again? No. See, he said, cast not away thy faith that hath great recompense of reward. It just simply means that we have failed to believe properly and that we are having a hard time out of the lying vanities that's all around us because we're stumbling into those things that we don't want to stumble into. We have let our light momentarily grow dim, and our faith, all we got to do is just kind of pump the lantern again and get everything bright, keep plenty of oil in the lamp, get everything bright, and then we can see our way once again. For our faith will be there bright and brilliant again. See, because it is our shield. Taking the shield of faith that you might be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked. Oh, that is going about believing in the righteousness of God in your behalf. Or believing that now the Father hath no feelings of wrath toward you. Because you have peace with Him through the sacrifice of His Son, the Lord Jesus. Going about believing this, don't let that get away from you. Even if you stumble, even if you stagger, don't lay that down. Don't turn that loose. Don't let that get away from you. Because that is your righteousness. That is your strength. That is your power. Having done all to stand, the Bible said, stand therefore, being steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the glory and the things of God. And stand therefore and be strong in the power of my might. Oh, that is when you stumble and stagger and you say, oh my God, I feel so dirty. Oh my God, I feel like I'm just nothing. Just raised up by faith, but say, God, I'm strong in the power of your might. Your righteousness is my righteousness, and I'm clean and holy, and I'm pure by the blood of the Lamb. And the devil is overthrown, and he stopped at Calvary, and he has no power over me, and I'm not going to listen to his lying vanities. All right, let's give the Lord a hand. Then we continue on in the wonderful things of God. Day after day, we continue on to be the great victors from mountaintop to mountaintop. What is this great thing of the time being fulfilled? And the Bible, since then, the Bible says, and the time is fulfilled, and the gospel is now preached unto you, or now the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. And when the man answered discreetly concerning some things that Jesus said when he put the Pharisees to silent, the man answered very discreetly when he asked Jesus of something, and Jesus answered him, and he said, yea, Lord, thou hast spoken the truth. Jesus said, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. That is now, the kingdom of God is now down here at hand. It is now down here. It's not up yonder. It's not over yonder. We're not heading for it over yonder somewhere. Somebody said, be faithful and you'll just be raptured out to it. We're not heading for that over there. We're not putting any confidence in that kind of teaching. We're putting our confidence in what the Word says. Faith cometh by the hearing of the Word. And he that God sendeth will speak God's Word. And God sends forth the ministry as a deliverer to deliver you from your sin and iniquity, to tell you that your warfare is now accomplished, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you can be saved. For it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord now shall be saved, because he hath accomplished the warfare. And now the kingdom of God is at hand. And the Bible said men press their way into the kingdom of God. So if you're not in the kingdom of God, then repent of your sin. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus, and you can go into the kingdom. But the way that we get in is to press ourselves, press our way against this old bodily outer being of the intellectual mind of our own rudeness, that we might overcome the flesh and Satan in the flesh, or the body of this death. And the Bible said, in so doing, God will give us the hidden manna, which is the revelation or the revealing of himself and his great wisdom and his great life and his great power and his great riches. Man is a great thing. Man and woman is the greatest thing that ever tread the earth when they have God, because they are gods and they are alive forevermore, and they've got strength and they got power and they got riches and beauty and magnificence. Eternally they have these treasures. See, because they are gods, they cannot die. They cannot pass away because they are gods. But people who are in the world in their natural life of dope and of going after the things of the world and their faces and frolics and bodies and intellectual reason is nothing but garbage. They're just a garbage heap. They're nothing but something to deliver to the dump and throw into the dump. And though they feel great with their diplomacies and they feel great with their riches and they feel great with their talents and with their abilities, yet they're nothing but garbage. And they'll be thrown into the garbage dump. They'll be hauled off to throw, be thrown into the fire. But folks, ye that are sons and daughters of God, ye are so wonderful, so beautiful. The Bible said, put on your beautiful garments, Zion. You will literally outshine the brightness of the noonday sun. The Bible said when Jesus appeared in glory with Moses and Elijah, that his raiment appeared so glorious, so beautifully white. And glistened. The Bible said he literally glistened and was so white as to a full of soap in all of the earth of the best kind could never wash a garment as white as Jesus was. So then it's so beautiful to know that now we're here. Now we're sons of God. Now we're in the kingdom. Now we're in heaven. Now our warfare is over. Now we're perfect. Now we're the children of God. Now we can never sin. Now we are perfected forever before the Lord Jesus Christ. So wonderful to believe this. And as the preacher preaches this, this revelation comes to you. It has to do with the spiritual church, of course, the inner Jew being caught away into heaven, and God bringing this deliverance message at the closing of the day of the Gentiles. It has to do with that at the time being fulfilled. Now it's revealed to you in your generation. And in this, that you believe and you comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this knowledge, and then you believe it. Then are you thoroughly furnished? And then you find yourself in heaven, and you find that you've been translated. And we can't say make the rapture, you made the translation. Let's give the Lord a hand. So you find yourself translated into the marvelous kingdom of God. And then with this, when this episode as to the spiritual Jew and the spiritual Christ as to the head of the spiritual church, when all of this is completed and this great, wonderful revealing of Christ within you, the hope of glory, once this is revealed, then it's the same as it was with Jesus when that body to it, it was revealed that God Almighty was in it, turning that body into the very word itself, or into godliness, and that Christ now is doing the same thing with you as he's revealed within you. And in that it is happening, once this is finished as to the course of the church, then the diplomacy is there. The child is no longer under tutors, no longer in school. And immediately with this is the closing of the days of the Gentiles and the coming in of the Jews, which means that the manifestation of that church on the inside is at hand. But God, in the catching away at Thessalonians change, will immediately catch you away to hide you just like that. Once you come to your fullness on the inside, the church is changed and the body and caught away and hid until the Jews go through their 7 years as the period of the days of Daniel's troubles or the last week of Daniel. And then with that, once that is over, then at the end of that, Revelation 19, and the Bible said, and then the glorious church will return in their glorious garments with the Lord Jesus Christ to set up the millennium in this world. That is to say, the Jews will have gone through their periodic changes, and not as to the change of the body as to the glorified body that you will have, because they will go right on into the millennium as a natural person. And they will tend the grounds, they will plant their seeds, they will build their houses, they will live as a natural people for 1,000 years in peace and without trouble. But you and I, being celestial, will have our bodies celestial, and we can still come into the millennium and still be there and eat and drink and enjoy the wonderful things just like Jesus did with his body when he ate the honeycomb and when he was resurrected. And we can do all the great, wonderful things of having the new earth and enjoying all the things of it, because there'll be no curse. It will be redeemed. There'll be no curse. First, the spirit must be redeemed. So then, who are we? We are spiritual beings. For he that is born of the spirit is spirit. So then we are equal to the angels that are in heaven. So God is redeeming the heavens. He's casting Lucifer out into the earth. So then we know that we are as the spiritual, we're redeemed. And then the spiritual life enters into the human body, and then the Jews, as to the human body, they are redeemed from the curse. Their eyes come open, and then from that, through the human body, into the earth, and then the earth is redeemed from the curse, and the briars and everything's gone, and it becomes a beautiful garden, and then we all live together. The 12 apostles sitting upon the thrones as spiritual leaders, Jesus as the great spiritual head, and the Jews as natural people living in the earth under the regime of spiritual leadership. And during that time, they'll enjoy the natural way of life in the natural earth, and we will have access to it just as the apostles who are spiritual, and just as Jesus, who is spiritual, that will be living in the millennium earth at that time. So then the time is fulfilled. Happy days, for this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord has made. And John entered into the Lord's day. Now I've entered into the Lord's day. And the Bible said, he that has ceased from his own work has entered into the Lord's day, which is the day of his rest. And they that have entered into his rest have ceased from their own work. I ceased from my own work. I've done my own work. I've done everything that I knew to do, to fast, to pray, to study, to give my life, to put away everything, until I finally put down everything in my life that I could put down as to my ability to walk right, to think right, to have the intents of my heart right, the very impulses of my body right, the very reflex of my mind right. And I've done all that I possibly could to suddenly make contact with him and realize that it was by grace and that all of my efforts was just to come to a place to where I could believe. That all of my efforts was just to assure my heart that I might have confidence in his word, and his word begin to revelate to me and the hidden manner begin to come to me, and I suddenly realized that he's my God and he's my righteousness, that he's my sanctification, that he's my perfection. And in believing in all of this, having done my best to the best of my ability, when I stumbled and staggered and come short of the things of God, then God overrode that by the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and granted unto me perfection, having perfected my faith in Christ to the extent that he teaches me to believe with all of my heart, with all of my strength, with all of my mind, that I must believe in his word and dwell in heaven and enjoy these wonderful things in heaven. This is why he said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. So then the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. We eat so much. We drink so much. We're so carnal until we cannot do these wonderful things that he would have us to do. If a man would get his mind off of eating, get his mind off of drinking, get his mind off of passions, get his mind off of money, get his mind off of the human senses, as to the five human senses that sensually separates him from the spirit, and get into the mind of Christ and into the spirit of Christ, and let his conversation be in heaven, his desire and be in heaven, and his ego and efforts be toward laboring that he might have to give, to the extent that he walks in the spirit, then he can enjoy all of these wonderful treasures, for the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, and now ye shall repent and receive ye this wonderful kingdom of God, which is the spirit of Christ into your heart. So I was telling Sister Betty today, I saw the paper, and there was Mrs. Bush and there was Mrs. Gorbachev. One red-headed, one white-haired. And the paper stated that two sisters now in a new world. See, for America, they call that the new world. And now, Mrs. Gorbachev that was in the old world has come over to the new world. And the white hair as to the righteousness of these saints, and as to that which was dead. For at one time over there in Russia, they were the allies of America. And then came that thing as to the separation and the middle wall of partition and the iron curtain or death. And they were cut off. And then we predicted the breaking down of those walls as to the iniquity, as to the separation, as to communism and democracy, even to the Iron Curtain. And of that in Germany, of course, that will break the Wailing Wall, and there'll be no weeping and wailing anymore as to the Jews, and old Jerusalem will become one with the new Jerusalem as the spirit returns to the body. So then America returning into the body as the gospel goes forth into Russia. Now, here's Mr. Gorbachev over here, and he doesn't favor communism to that extent. He just has to stay in there with it because he's in a predicament where he can't do anything else. And now he's come over here, which shows the redemption of the body, that the spirit, as to Christianity, has entered into Russia. And now the body's resurrected again. And now, as it was in the days of Roosevelt, they're allies again, and the body's back with the spirit. And no little wonder that at this time that y'all should go down to paint the White House, the government, and these kind of things is happening, because Bush has to do with Mr. Roosevelt, and being the only president really that has ever been loved to the extent as Roosevelt as coming back in as Mr. Bush is. And then having to do with overthrowing the dragon, as I spoke about that this morning, and these things that's taking place as pertaining to the cave. as to Brother Branham, the document as to the Lacey, George C. Lacey thing in the document and the folding up of the laying away of the law. As to what George Smith is doing as a documented thing right now. And as the Georgia boys that being the ones that unveiled the thing that was seen in the vision, as I said this morning, and the message, where is the message? Well, anyway, this is the things we're speaking of, and many things that we spoke to Sister Betty about today. Well, we had a little chance just to speak to her about a few present day truths as to concerning the black man, the white man, the yellow man, the red man, and these things that are taking place. And as the thing is, Ms. Gorbachev, even as to communists or the old red dragon, even as the red hair showed in the picture on the front of the newspaper. But nevertheless, Satan, the red dragon, remember the Chinese thing in Jimmy Carter, we brought it out concerning the JC and numbers of other things concerning JC and where they're found. And the things at this time that pertain to that, right at this particular time, and we spoke this morning of the expulsion of Lucifer having to do with the thing concerning Dan and the tribe of the serpent as to the store and those things. Well, anyway, we got a lot of those things on tape where we spoke in part of them. And numbers of things that I spoke to her about today that I never get to speak to you about, because I speak to Betty about a lot of things confidentially to where I maybe never get to speak to you about them. But many things that I can speak to you, I do speak to you. And as I said to Brother Owens, who was in the room there just a little bit ago, that this is a serious time. Things that we're speaking of are very serious. Though you don't understand it, yet it is a serious moment. And Mrs. Gorbachev being over here and Mr. Gorbachev being among the people and being received indicates the resurrection as to the body and the Jews coming in, and indicates that the days of the Gentiles are now over. And then, of course, as to the Jews, the summit thing where Mr. Bush said that he would not come against the Jews, but he would not withdraw as to his feelings of the summit. That is to say, they are against the Jews as to some of the things that they're doing when it's concerning the Arabs. So then it's that boycotting now where everything is now at hand for the abomination of desolation that Daniel spoke about, which means if that is at hand, the church will be like that. That is to say, you don't understand because something has happened. He touched me, even as the hand that came down out of heaven. And now I know he touched me. So then, that is to say that when Russia and America confederates, which they've already done, every nation in the world will take a bow except the Jews. Because every nation in the world will be afraid, for the two great giants of the earth are now one power. And the Bible said, who can make war against him? So then they'll confederate their forces and their armies and unite like they did in the early days, back when Roosevelt was here, when the United Nations come together. As to the scattering from the old Tower of Babel, now the regathering as to the Tower or Pentecost, that is to say the city, the pyramid city, building itself up to the capstone, even the coming of the Lord Jesus, climbing up to heaven, not climbing up to heaven, but building their way up to heaven as to the capstone that will come crying, grace, 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 which really came at Calvary, but will come back to the church, and not like the pyramid of Egypt, the old civilization thing as to Satan built toward that star of evil, that which has never been capstone. So then we see that everything is at hand. So the boycott and all these things are ready to come now. And with that, the confederation of nations once again showing themselves, and with that, a declaration of peace which will not stand. Well, when they cry peace, sudden destruction, and as I said before, and we can't go into all of this, we're not going to try to tonight, but as it is said, when they come together with this great thing, out of the east shall come tidings that will trouble them. And that is that there's still a Messiah to come. Because Antichrist, seeing all this confederation, and already, as I said, the products are under the number 666. We brought it out one night, that this little line work on there, if you add it up, it comes to 666. That's already on your products. And now we spoke of the human being coming under the 666 as to the IRS and these kind of things. and not being able to buy and sell. And we brought that out to you, explained it to the best we could. And as to the laser mark, and now, right here at this time, the days of the Gentiles coming to an end, as we say, our flag flying in the kingdoms of this world, having become the kingdoms of our God and of our Christ. And whether you think it's strange or whether you don't think it's strange, it was over in Eden when we sent this flag to Mr. Reagan, and he accepted this. And at that time, Gorbachev and him, they came together after this thing that we had done. And then, as it was, it went over to Mr. George Bush. Let's give the Lord a hand. So, things are taking place. And again, as I said, Mr. Bush's administration has two, calendar-wise, it's very obvious that in his administration, that goes right into the tribulation period. Runs right into the tribulation period so far as calendar-wise. We brought that out one night. So the time is fulfilled. A lot of things we could say and would say. But usually, as I say, on these nights like this, we're real full from eating and drinking, and we're not very spiritual. And in the morning, we try to get over whatever we can, but then at this time of season, over in the evening, it's hard to be able to penetrate the walls of the intellectual filling of natural sources. That's why the Bible recommends fasting, as to abstain from the old body. When you starve him out, you're getting rid of the body of that death. And the less he eats, the less strength and ego and energy he has to be a celebrity and for money and all these other kind of things, because if he can't eat, that discourages the old serpent because it kills him out. He's on his belly. So he could care less whether it's prestige or whatever, because he is interested in his belly. And if his belly don't take in the good so he can have the strength, he can't enjoy any of the other things. So then you starve him out, and at the same time you make communication with God, as the Bible said, and through fasting and through prayer, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, they shall not harm them, they shall drink deadly things, and it shall do them no harm. All right, if they drink anything deadly, let's stand together and sing a little chorus together. So this morning we just briefly exhorted you a little bit. Tonight we're briefly exhorting you a little bit, and maybe a little bit here and a little bit there, and a line upon line, and precept upon precept, and perhaps you'll come into some things that the Spirit will stir you in and enlighten you as to comprehend the height, the depth, the width, and the length as to whatever measure you desire to have in your life of Him. So whatever view that you can get rid of, that's how much of Him that you can have. If you can't get rid of you and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, then you'll never have Him. But the more of you that you get rid of, the more of Him that you'll be. And the more of Him that you'll have, and the more that you will be of that great, wonderful riches and knowledge and power and radiance in the day of the coming of the Lord. So I'd like to be it all. I'd like to get into it all. I'd love to have it all. I'd like to do all that's within my power to be exactly like Him, to do exactly like Him, to think exactly like Him, and so that I can say with Paul, it's not me living, but Him that lives. When you come to the realization that the whole episode of this thing was from the beginning, that He might eradicate you and that you might decrease, that He might increase, that the whole thing was that God might live and you might not exist, that you might be gone out of existence. That is His coming, and through the brightness of that wonderful understanding, it was the eradication of the shadow, which is you. That there be no more you but Him. And even as it would be Jesus and Father, the Father being one, I and the Father being one, as to the glory of His radiation through this human body, that He lives, and the eradication of the natural man, it's altogether, as to the period of light, been taken out of the way. All right, let's sing a song together. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face, Behold the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Can you sing that with me? Oh yes, it's changing me. Oh, it's changing me. Oh, it's changing me. Changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing. Oh yes, it's changing. Is it changing you? It really is changing me. Oh, there's been a change in me since you came into my heart. There's been a change in me, a great mighty change such as I never dreamed would ever be in me. Changing me. Of the glory of His unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Let's have another key, Brother Taylor. Let Thy will be done, Lord. Can you sing that again? Oh, let Thy will be done. Create in us the mind of Christ. It's the Father in the Son. For it's in Thy shining glory that we see that Holy One. Our hope is to be like Him. So let Thy will be done. Can you sing that again? Oh, let Your will be done, Lord. You know, Brother Taylor sings that song, and the Lord is bringing forth the man-child in you and me. And Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. And on the inside, this wonderful life of Christ, the Bible said that God desired that it should be made manifest in your mortal genes. Not you living, but Christ that liveth within you. And the life that you now live, you live with the Son of God. The Bible said, who gave Himself for you. So then this Christ is coming forth within you to swallow up the outer man of the old bastard image, that you might be married to another. For now the mind that was once in you before Calvary is now gone. And the infiltration is now gone. The body of that death is now gone. And God killed out that body. And now you can be married to another, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, flesh of His flesh, bone of His bone. So then you're no more you, but Him. And no more you that liveth but Him. To glorify Him, that's the way it should be. When I toss on life's sea and the waves all cover me and the dark clouds won't let the sun shine through, then I hear a voice say, Son, there'll be a better day. Don't allow the storm clouds to hide sweet heaven's view. Can you say no? You got one more valley, one more hill. You got one crawling down here.
One more curve in life's road, just one more mile to go, and you can lay down your heavy load when you get home. You've got one more valley, one more hill. You got one less sorrow, friend, down here. One more curve in life's road, just one more mile to go, and you can lay down. Don't let Satan see her. Try to smile through your fears. Hold your head up high and give the world a smile. Just be the way and it'll be worth it all someday. Or it's gonna be over after a while. You've got one more valley, one more hill. You've got one more sorrow friend down here. One more curve in life's road, just one more mile to go, when you can lay down your heavy load. I read in the Bible where God so loved sinners, gave His Son to die in their place. For He gave His life, the cruel cross of Calvary. Thank God for His marvels. Can you sing that one? Thank God there, a bridge or a river. Someday I'll see His sweet gleam. With Him I'll reign there forever. Thank God for His marvelous grace. I read in the Bible, let not your heart be troubled, for I go to prepare you a place. Streets of gold, gates of pearls, with the pure walls of jasper. Thank God for His marvelous. Thank God there's a bridge over the river. Someday I should see His sweet face. With Him we'll dwell there forever. Thank the Lord for His marvels. Can you sing that with me again? Thank God there's the river. Someday I'll see His face. With Him we'll dwell there forever. Thank the Lord for His marvels. Let's give Him another hand. Thank God for His wonderful, marvelous grace. Let's sing this little chorus again tonight. Come a little closer. Come a little closer to the Lord. Heavy load light, your days will brighten if you come a little closer to the Lord. Sing that with me. Come a little closer. Just a little closer. That's what
That's what the church world needs to do.
Let's come a little closer to the Lord.
When you come a little closer to the Lord, I remember, brother, when I was like you, traveling down a road of sin, head bending low, I would trouble in my soul, looking for the day it would end. Oh, I'm great, you came a calling one day from the good book he read. Now I can say there's nothing in my way. Came a little closer to the Lord. Come a little closer, just a little closer. Oh, come a little closer to the Lord. Heavy load will lighten and your days will brighten. Now can you sing it one more time with me? So I came a little closer, just a little closer, and I come a little closer to the Lord. My heavy load did lighten, and my days did brighten. I came a little closer to the Lord. So come a little closer, just a little closer, oh, come a little closer to my Lord. Your heavy load will lighten, and your days will brighten. You come a little closer to the Lord. Let's give him a hand, can you? Give me Keith. Let tomorrow just be tomorrow. I'll just serve a living God that has and if the rain falls or the sun shines, I'll be happy, oh so happy in my... Can you sing that with me? So let tomorrow just be tomorrow. We'll just living God that has control. If the rain falls or the sun shines, I will be happy. Oh, can you sing it one more time with me? We'll let tomorrow, you know, the time is fulfilled. And you're the happy children of God that made it into His kingdom. And now you can rejoice forevermore because you dwell in heaven. Your sins are gone underneath the blood. He made an end of sin. You keep yourself and the evil one touches you not. So your faith can soar high in God and condemnation can't put it down. But tomorrow, can't your, isn't your spirit free and your soul free and you feel the weights all gone, the gravitational powers of condemnation lifted, and you feel light like a bird, like a feather in the wind? Can you give him a wave offering? One more time.
We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow.
I'll just serve the living God that has. Aren't you happy, people at Bethlehem? Aren't you happy? Falls. Would you like to just fly all over the world and just drop this seed all over the world of this wonderful glad tidings of great joy of our Savior and the resurrection? You feel resurrected?
And I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise.
ordained. You know, things are happening here and there. Sister Betty and I was, as I said to some of them, Sister Betty and I was going up the way to look at a boat that they want to give us, a nice sailboat. The man paid about $35,000 for it new, and he wants to give it to us. It's a real fine boat. We went up there, about a 27-foot boat. And while we was up there, we stopped into a place to get us a little bite to eat. And while we was there, we were talking about the Lord. And as I started out, somebody stopped me, a young man stopped me. And he said, "You're Christians, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, sir." And he said that he had traveled under the tent, been with Brother David Terrell under the tent all over the world. He said, "I'm his son-in-law." And he was really interested in what we had seen. He was talking about a vision over there, David Paul and some of them. And you could tell his heart was really hungry. He'd come off of the field. Him and his wife now had about 4 children. And the thing I think that had happened as to the ministry had been so besetting. And yet he was so hungry. People everywhere. You know, that wasn't coincidental that God would do that. He hears the cry of a heart, and he sends us into strange places, and he does things in strange ways to reach them that seem to be exile, always reaching out, trying to help the people. Folks, you've got the message that'll translate the church. You've got the revelation of Jesus Christ. You understand, little Bethlehem, it's like the head of the nation, and it's up to you and I to go into all the world. To whom much is given, much is required. It's up to you and I to go into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature. Even our young people here, our girls and boys, it's required of them. Our men and women, it's required of them to go into all the world and preach this gospel to every creature. So as we praise Him tonight and coming to the close of another service, let your heart go out to God, and let your faith go out to God. Let your spirit go out to God, because you've got a great task. The end of the world is here. Now this last message is going forth to close the door. So, whereas people have heard of the messages and then gone on and done things, but they won't do that with this one. When you hear this message, you don't go anywhere after that. The light goes out. If you don't go into that, the light goes out, and that's the end of you.